Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 16th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness, that we are allowed to see clearly the events that are taking place around us, based upon your prophecies in your word. We ask today that you would continue to guide us and to show us the way, giving us the strength and faith that is necessary. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today I'd like to read an article for you that is found in the U.S. Department of State website. And it's a speech by Michael Pompeo, who is the Secretary of State. And he was making this speech to the American Association of Christian Counselors at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. The article is dated October the 11th, 2019. Now, of course, I'd like to read a little bit of that speech. I'm not going to read the whole speech for you. And then I will explain to you why the speech is important, because there's not that much in the speech that is more than anyone else who would be speaking to a Christian organization. But again, the speech is found on the U.S. Department of State website. And it's a transcript of the speech. We will take a look at a little bit of it. It was published October the 11th, 2019. And as I said before, it is a speech by Michael R. Pompeo, the Secretary of State to the American Association of Christian Counselors at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, Nashville, Tennessee. Here is some of the speech. Secretary Pompeo says, "Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Clinton, for that kind introduction. It's great to be with you and your wife, Julie. It's a real privilege to be with you, and it's a heck of a deal to be out of Washington today. I was going to give you some wisdom, said maybe you'll hold your conference there next year, but I thought about it, and that's be a bad idea. But Washington could use your spirit and your love. And I want to take just a moment to pass along. I spoke to the president yesterday and I told him I was coming down here. He reminded me that Tennessee won the country. I told him I knew that. But he said to send his regards and his love and his appreciation for what you do taking care of people all around the world. I did want to talk to you about why I'm here. I'm the Secretary of State. I spent most of my time traveling around the world, and I wanted to come here because I have profound appreciation for your mission. And when I had a chance to talk to Tim about the opportunity to come to speak to you, I was thrilled to get the chance. Look, we share some things in common. We talk to people through hard times. We find ourselves in the middle of disputes and we seek to mediate them and try and identify their root causes. We try to keep conflict minimized and at bay. But when you think about those missions, the missions that you all have, it sounds a lot like the diplomacy that me and the State Department and my team engage in every day. We're both in very people-intensive lines of work. And we're both appealing to the hearts and minds to change behaviors. As believers, we draw on the wisdom of God to help us get it right, to be a force for good in the life of human beings. Now, I know that even having just said that, I know some people in the media will break out the pitchforks when they hear that I ask God for direction in my work. But you should know, as much as I'd like to claim originality, it's not a new idea. I love this quote from President Lincoln. He said, quote, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." And so with that in mind, I want to use my time today to think about what it means to be a Christian leader. A Christian leader in three areas. First, it's disposition. How is it that one carries it oneself in the world? The second is dialogue, or how you talk to people. How is it that we engage with others around the world? And third It's decision or decisions that we make. How do we make choices? Upon what basis do we make those choices? What do we use as our bedrock to get to those decisions? These are things that you face in your work every day. There are issues that the State Department and President Trump, each of us, must face. And my focus too, to be quite candid, is not just on being a leader. I learned how to lead at whatever level I've blessed with during my time at West Point and other experiences, but I want to talk about being a Christian leader. Now remember, that is the topic of his speech, being a Christian leader. I learned that through a very different experience, an experience with God and my own personal faith in Christ. Like a lot of people, and you don't have to admit it today, but like a lot of people, I grew up going to church, but with a relationship with God that wasn't especially important for me because I was destined to be in the NBA. But as I grew older, when I started my time at the United States Military Academy, there were two young men that were in the class ahead of me who invited me to a Bible study. They were very intentional to me in explaining God's Word. And after some study and discipleship with them, they helped me begin my walk with Christ. And since then, I have been privileged to have many different leadership roles. I was a captain in the United States Army and Cavalry Unit. I ran two small companies in my home state of Kansas. I served as a member of the Congress, trying to do my level best to represent the people of South Central Kansas. And then I served as CIA director, and now I have the incredible privilege to serve President Trump as his 70th Secretary of State. I'm mindful he is the 45th president, so there's a lot more turnover in my job than in his. But back, Susan and I have been, had Christ at the center of our lives, that would have been a wonderful thing. Back in my church in Wichita, I was a deacon. She and I taught 5th grade school Sunday school, which was a great, great lesson from my time as Secretary of State. But we also saw that in our time serving in that capacity, we saw how many challenging issues that you all address every single day. I've had the privilege to do it all alongside Susan, my wonderful Christian wife, and my son Nick, who keeps me humble. Yeah, he reminded me. So I'm going to get off an airplane the other day at 3 o'clock in the morning. I forget where I was, and he texted me. It was a different time here on the East Coast, and he texted me and said, "Dad, you almost fell down." And he was not worried about me. He was worried about America. He did not want me to embarrass America. There's absolutely no shortage of leadership wisdom gathering from raising a teenage boy. I can certainly tell you that. So my prayer today is that whatever your understanding I've gained in these various opportunities that I've had, these blessings I've had to lead, some of which I've learned the hard way, for sure. I know that I can share some of these with you today, and it will bless you in your work as well. We all know this. Before you can help others, you need to have the right approach to yourself. There is where I get to the first point I want to talk about, which is disposition. What's the attitude with which we approach each other and the challenges? All the things that we see in the world. How you carry yourself is the first arena of Christian leadership. Scripture calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I keep a Bible open on my desk. That's in his Secretary of State office. And I try every morning to try to get in a little bit of time with the book. I need my mind renewed with truth each day. And part of that truth is, as my son reminds me, is to be humble. Proverbs says, "With the humble is wisdom." Now I'm going to stop here. And I want you to understand that if you listen to the speech, you realize that there's not that much about it that is unusual for someone speaking to a Christian organization. This speech itself seems harmless enough. But the context of that speech is found in another article, found in the New York Times, published on March the 30th, 2019. Perhaps you're not aware of it, but Pompeo is a Christian, an evangelical Christian, one of the men who embraced the concept of turning the United States of America into a Christian nation. So now let me share you the context of another speech found in the New York Times, March the 30th, 2019, the article written by Edward Wong, W-O-N-G, and the title is The Rapture and the Real World, Mike Pompeo Blends Belief and Policy. Here's what that article says. Secretary of State Pompeo has linked Christian beliefs with foreign policy, raising questions about the extent to which his evangelism influences American diplomacy. When Secretary of State Mike Pompeo sat down for an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network in a hotel in Jerusalem earlier this month, he made a remark that was perhaps the most revealing of any in his nearly 1 year in office. An evangelical Christian, Mr. Pompeo has just returned from tours of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built on the ground where Jesus is said to have been crucified and buried, and of tunnels beneath the Western Wall, by the holiest site in Judaism. The interviewer posed a question around a biblical tale about a queen who saved Jews from slaughter by a Persian official. Did Mr. Pompeo think President Trump has been raised for such a time as this, just like Queen Esther, to help save the Jewish people from the Iranian menace? Answer. As a Christian, I certainly believe that's possible, Mr. Pompeo said. It was remarkable. So we were down in the tunnels where we could see 3,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, if I have the history just right, to see the remarkable history of the faith in this place. And the work that our administration's done to make sure that this democracy in the Middle East, that this Jewish state remains, I'm confident that the Lord is at work here. White evangelical Christians are a powerful force in the Republican Party. Vice President Mike Pence is a staunch believer, and former President George W. Bush is an adherent too. But no Secretary of State in recent decades has been as open as Mr. Pompeo about discussing Christianity and foreign policy in the same breath. That has increasingly raised questions about the extent to which evangelical beliefs are influencing American diplomacy. On Monday, in a speech at the annual conference of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the pro-Israel group, Mr. Pompeo told an anecdote of Baranski, a Christian who saved 3,000 Jews in Hungary during World War II. Then he said, as Secretary of State and as a Christian, I'm proud to lead American diplomacy to support Israel's right to defend itself. The next day, Mr. Pompeo announced an expansion of Trump's administration's anti-abortion policies, saying the United States would stop funding foreign organizations that support other groups that perform abortions. It is a policy popular with conservatives, Catholics, and evangelical Christians. Though Mr. Trump is secular, white evangelicals are a big part of his voter base. And some of his major foreign policy moves, planned or supported by Mr. Pompeo, are intended to shore up political support. Studies show that white evangelicals are much more likely than other Americans to believe that Israel fulfills a biblical prophecy known as Christian Zionist. They believe God promised the land to the Jews and that the gathering of Jews in Israel is foretold in the prophecy of the rapture, the ascent of Christians into the kingdom of God. Mr. Pompeo talks about the rapture. We will continue to fight these battles, he said, at a God and Country rally in 2015, because there is a never-ending struggle until the rapture. Be part of it, he said at the meeting at the Summit Church in Wichita, Kansas. Be in the fight. In November, Mr. Pompeo told a reporter for the New York Times magazine that the Bible informs everything I do. The reporter noticed an open Bible in his office with a Swiss Army knife marking his place at the end of the book of Queen Esther. Mr. Pompeo, 55, became a devoted Christian at West Point, where he joined Bible study groups. After moving to Kansas, he joined the Eastminster Presbyterian Church in Wichita, which is affiliated with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, a relatively conservative denomination. The State Department did not respond to questions about the intersection of Mr. Pompeo's Christian beliefs and policy. American evangelicals who supported Mr. Trump's embassy move might also approve of Israel's annexes as part of all the West Bank. After Mr. Trump formally recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights in a meeting on Monday with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, many conservative Israelis said they are hopeful that annexing part of the West Bank will be next. Then there's the question of what an Israeli-Palestinian peace plan, as drawn by Jared Kushner, Mr. Trump's advisors and son-in-law, will recommend for the disputed territories of Jerusalem and the West Bank. A former Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs noted the evangelical influence on the Trump administration is saying he doubted that the peace plan would propose ceding any Israeli-occupied territory in the West Bank to Palestinians, nor was it likely to provide a route to Palestinian sovereignty. In the very view of evangelicals, this is the land that God gave to the Jews, he said. They're strongly opposed to any territorial concession there. If there is any of that in the plan, I think there will be strong evangelical opposition to it. Mr. Trump's decision in December 2017 to move American embassy was intended to please evangelical voters in the United States, as well as some Jews. Mr. Netanyahu has embraced evangelical support for his right-wing policies and sees evangelicals as more reliable American allies of Israel than liberal American Jews. An evangelical pastor, Robert Jeffries of First Baptist Dallas, gave an opening prayer at the embassy's building dedication ceremony in May. His presence made many Israelis uncomfortable. He has said Jews, Muslims, and Mormons are bound for hell. In 2017, during a conference call of Mr. Trump's top evangelical supporters, Mr. Jeffries led a prayer for the protection of Mr. Pompeo, then CIA director, and thanked God for putting him in the job. Of course, that evangelical pastor, Robert Jeffries, is the one who holds the weekly Bible study in the White House, in the Oval Office. Continuing. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Mr. Pompeo also has broadcast his Christian beliefs. At the start of January's speech in Cairo, Mr. Pompeo said the trip was especially meaningful for him as an evangelical Christian coming so soon after the Coptic Church's Christmas celebrations. He added, "In my office, I keep a Bible open on my desk to remind me of God and His Word and the truth." Observers found it remarkable that Mr. Pompeo would open a speech in a majority Muslim country by highlighting his Christianity, and some critics have pointed out that Mr. Pompeo, before becoming secretary, made us versus them statements about Christians and Muslims while talking about terrorism and war. At Mr. Pompeo's confirmation hearing in April 2018, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New York, New Jersey, asked him about his ties to prominent anti-Islam activists. Mr. Pompeo acknowledged the ties and said he had a strong record with respect to tolerance and the equal treatment of people. When Mr. Pompeo traveled to Lebanon after his recent stop in Israel, he toured a church and a Crusader citadel and talked with a bishop about religious freedom, one of his favorite themes. He plans to host a second conference on religious freedom at the State Department in July. Mr. Pompeo has made Iran a signature issue, blaming it for stirring unrest in the Middle East. He reliably calls it the country by its full name, the Islamic Republic of Iran, to highlight its religious identity. Last year, Mr. Pompeo and Mr. Pence led an extraordinary campaign to pressure President Erdogan of Turkey, a proponent of political Islam, to release an American evangelical pastor, Andrew Brunston, who was arrested in 2016. But Mr. Pompeo cited the mission of religious freedom, has also defended the rights of Muslims oppressed by some Asian nations. He has criticized Myanmar for its ethnic cleansing, though he has declined to describe it as genocide. And Mr. Pompeo has denounced China for its detentions of 1 million or more Muslims. Hours before leaving for Kuwait, Israel, and Lebanon, Mr. Pompeo hosted an on-the-record conference call with just faith-based media, barring journalists who regularly cover the State Department. Though widely criticized for the move, Mr. Pompeo and the State Department have refused to say who was on the call or release a transcript. Representative Susan Wild, Democrat of Pennsylvania, told Mr. Pompeo during a House hearing on Wednesday that his action raises concern about his First Amendment violations. Mr. Pompeo said it was no different than giving selective interviews. He added, "I am confident I will do so again." So one of the reasons why I read that article first in that speech, I wanted you to hear the speech, and then I read the second article so that you can get a context. This man is a far-right evangelical, and he embraces the concept of turning the United States of America and the rest of the world into theocracy, a Christian nation, a Christian globe. You don't hear too much of that in the media. But there it stands. The fulfillment of what God has said in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. The United States of America will cause the rest of the world to worship the first beast. You and I, having been warned, must be ready. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for your warnings. We thank you for your rebuke. We thank you for the opportunities that you present us. Today we place ourselves in your care again. We come with repentance, asking that you would transform us into that which you would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 16th, 2019.